Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of John chapter 14 and then to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read one verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. John chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you found your place, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able to stand, stand with me as I read the Word of God. Jesus said in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then over in 1 Corinthians, there it is, chapter 2, one verse. Paul said in verse number 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Because of Jesus, we have a life worth living here, but we've got heaven to look forward to also.
Amen.
And the best is yet to come. Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be a blessing to your children that believe it important for them to be in your house on a Sunday night. Help me to take your simple word, your wonderful word, and preach it in such a way that it comes alive and we understand that you really have prepared a place for us in heaven. You call it a mansion in your book. You tell us, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that you have prepared for them that love you." Help me tonight to be a blessing to your children. Help me to be an encouragement to this church. Thank you for this pastor and his family. Would you bless them abundantly? Would you give him strength and wisdom and leadership to lead these people to a closer, sweeter walk with Jesus Christ? And I pray, Father, that Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point will not be the best kept secret in Van Zandt County, but everybody will hear about what's going on here and come and check it out and have an opportunity to hear the Word of God and get saved and get involved and be faithful to the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, we love you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Fill us with thy Spirit and speak through us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And then Paul reminds us again in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." The poet Browning said, "The best is yet to be." We use these words in times of sadness to encourage those who are dealing with a broken heart and discouragement. We promise them on the merits of the Word of God that it's not always going to be like this. There's better days coming. Just don't give up, give in, give over, or give out. Stay true, stay faithful. The best is yet to come. I've used it at funerals when I talk to people about their sweet Christian mom or dad that's gone on to glory, and let them know that this isn't the end. One of these days we'll get to be there with them, and the best is yet to come. However, these words are also truth for the Christian when things are at their best in this life. No matter how good it is, no matter how blessed you may think you are, I'm here to tell you that in Christ Jesus, the best is yet to come. There are only two people in the New Testament given a tour of heaven and came back to tell about it. Those two people were the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. John received his vision of heaven while on the Isle of Patmos. You can read about it in the book of the Revelation. He also records the promise of Jesus concerning heaven in John chapter 14 that we just read. You can read about Paul's vision of heaven in the book of Acts chapter 14. Paul was at Lystra preaching the word of God. Angry Jews came over to Lystra from Antioch and Iconium, and they stirred up the people, and they picked up stones, and they began to stone Paul until, I believe, they killed him. And they drug him outside of the city, and I can picture them throwing him over in the road ditch like a dead dog and saying, "We've got that taken care of." But God took that terrible situation and raised him up and gave him a tour of heaven. Oh my. Paul gives his testimony of this event in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2, 3, and verses 2, 3, and 4. He said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago," talking about himself, "whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell." He said, "I don't know if I was dead or alive. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." I'd like to ask Paul tonight, "What's heaven like, Brother Paul?" I can almost hear him say, "What I saw and what I heard is so beautiful and so wonderful that it's unlawful for me to speak it in this old sin-cursed world." But he said, "I can tell you this. I have never seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Did you notice that Paul spoke of three heavens? Three heavens. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven where the birds fly. You can get there in an airplane. The second heaven is outer space where the stars and the planets are. You can get there in a rocket ship. The third heaven is the place Jesus tells us about in John chapter 14. It's a place prepared for all the saved. And one can only get to the third heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you accept him by simple faith. In fact, Paul tells us that heaven is more beautiful than anything you've ever seen. Now, I've had the privilege of traveling all over this world. I've seen Europe, I've seen South America, Central America, Canada, Alaska, and on, and preached in many of those places. But Paul said, you've never seen anything as beautiful as heaven. I have not seen. I have not seen. Nor ear heard. I love hearing young people sing. My, what a blessing the choir was. What a blessing this quartet was. Just one word of encouragement for all the young people that sang in the choir. Keep practicing. One of these days they'll trust you with a microphone too. But that was wonderful. Man, what a blessing to a church. What a blessing to parents and grandparents. What a blessing to God when He looks down and sees His children standing before people singing, praising Him. I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a choir singing and praising God, unless it's a congregation where every person in it has lifted up their voice and praising God in song. But Paul said, you've never seen anything like heaven, and you've never heard anything like you're going to hear when you get to glory. Oh, can you imagine the angelic choir? But that's nothing compared to the choir of the saved. Because the angels cannot sing and praise God like we're going to be able to, because not one angel has ever been saved. They know nothing about being born again. But we do, and when we get there, we'll have a reason to glorify Him and praise Him. Paul said, you've never seen anything like it. It's more beautiful than anything you've ever seen. And it's more glorious than anything you've ever heard. One of the most wonderful things I've ever heard is to hear my bride say, I love you. The only thing that compares to it is when your grandchild or great-grandchild puts their hand on your cheeks and push them together like this, and they'll say, Pops, I love you. But let me tell you, no matter how wonderful the things we've heard here, Paul said, it's not going to compare to what you've seen and what you've heard on this earth. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Look around this old world. Look at the architecture and the inventions and the things that have been designed. It all starts with a thought in somebody's mind. Everything you see started in somebody's mind. They thought it. But Jesus said nobody's ever thought anything like heaven. It's going to be more wonderful than anything you've ever seen, you've ever heard, or you've ever thought. Are you going there? Is it settled? You can't talk about that other place like that. For the unsaved, the worst is yet to come. No matter how good you've had it here, brother, or no matter how bad you've had it here, it's nothing compared to how bad it's going to be that first 5 seconds in hell. And the first 5 seconds won't be so bad. Let me encourage you to turn the burner on your stove, your gas burner. Put your hand in the fire for 5 seconds. Oh, no! Well, hey, we're talking about hell forever for the unsaved. By the way, You're a dumb kid if you turn the fire on and stick your hand in it. Don't you do it. First of all, I want you to think about what description we have in the Bible about heaven. The only description, the closest description we have about heaven is what God gives us in Revelation 21 when He talks about the New Jerusalem, the capital city of glory. Think first of all what descriptions we do have. Verse number 2 of chapter 21, here's the first. Heaven is as beautiful as the most beautiful, virtuous bride coming to the altar to meet her husband, her groom, on her wedding day. Now listen, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a young lady who's kept herself pure and clean, waiting for the marriage. She's earned the privilege to walk down that aisle in a white dress to meet her husband, her future husband at the altar. Oh my, I often think about my wedding, and I remember standing there and looking back at those doors, and those doors opened, and my bride came through those doors on her daddy's arm, and I thought, oh God, could this be happening to me? Giving me somebody like that to be my bride forever, for the rest of my life. He wants us to know that heaven is going to be like that. It's more beautiful than the most beautiful, virtuous bride, dressed in white, coming to meet her groom at the altar. You know, I started to say I've never seen an ugly bride, but I want to take that back. All joking aside, what a beautiful description. If you've ever been married and you saw your bride coming down that aisle at your wedding, you thought, my, what a beautiful woman. What a beautiful bride. Well, our Lord uses that to remind us of how beautiful heaven's going to be. More beautiful than the most beautiful, virtuous bride coming to meet her husband on her wedding day. I've often married people and they'll say, what do we owe you? And I always say to the groom, whatever you think she's worth. I've had a couple of them. I gave them half the money back. I married this one couple. They were a Down syndrome couple. Precious wedding, precious Christians. They found each other, fell in love, and had a wedding, a church wedding, and both of them gave me a love offering. I started to have some cards printed up, majoring on Down syndrome weddings. But I didn't. But isn't it amazing, this special event in our lives is something that Jesus uses to let us know how wonderful and how beautiful heaven's going to be. Heaven is a place without heartaches, fear, or death. A place without heartaches, fear, or death. A lot of people in this country have struggled with fear over this COVID thing. And I struggle with fear over this government thing we're going through. Where is our country headed? But we don't have to worry about heaven. Heaven is a place without heartaches, fear, or death. I preached the funeral of two family members this year. My mom and dad is gone. I preached their funerals. All of my siblings are gone. I preached their funerals. Now I'm into cousins and nephews, nieces. But oh, up there, there's no more death. No more death. Do you ever stop to think what's not going to be in heaven? Not going to be any funeral homes or cemeteries or undertakers. Hey, ladies, not going to be any vacuum cleaners. No dish pans. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. A place without heartache, fear, or death. Now, someone said, "Preacher, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid to die?" No, I'm not. Now, I'm afraid I might get mangled in the process. But man, whether it's Jesus coming or through death, I'm going home. Often with my wife and girls on the weekend would come down and visit mom on a Friday and dad on a Friday night and Saturday, and then we'd go back on Sunday to be in our church. And you know, not one time did we ever get in the car and start down to Myrtle Springs from Dallas or Garland or Fort Worth and my kids start screaming, saying, "No, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I don't want to go." They were excited because we were going home. And they knew that somebody there loved us more than we had words to describe. Not one time did my wife ever say, "Honey, no, I'm not going. I'm afraid." Because she knew we was just going home. And there, mom and dad were waiting on us. And they loved us more than we have words to explain. We'd turn off of the interstate on Myrtle Springs Road, just a quarter of a mile. And I knew what was happening down there in the house. I knew Dad was standing at the window with his hands behind his back looking out, just watching for our car. We'd turn on the Myrtle Springs Road and start down to the old home place, and out the front door they'd come. My daddy first, mama behind him. Our kids didn't start screaming or crying and saying we're afraid, because we're just going home. And they knew mom and dad loved us more than we could explain or understand. And I'm here to tell you, when it comes to heaven, Jesus wants you to have no fear, because we're just going home. And there's someone there that loves us more than we can explain, more than we can tell anyone. Someone who loved us so much that He went to death and suffered and bled and died in our place so we can go home and be with Him forever and forever. Why? According to verse 18 and 19 and verse 21 in this chapter, Revelation 21, heaven is a place where all the precious jewels in this world are used for the buildings of the wall, the gates, and the foundation of that city. Why, men steal, murder, sell their soul for some of that here. But God says, "Child of God, you just love me. Be faithful, because when you get home, I've taken all those riches, those precious stones and jewels and gold, and used them as building material, getting your place, your mansion ready in glory. We're just going home one of these days." Heaven is a place where there's no need for the moon nor the sun, because the glory of God fills every place. Every inch, every corner. No electric lights, no heaters, no air conditioners, perfect climate. And the Lord Jesus and the light of our Savior lights that place with the warmth of His love and the glory of His person. I'm telling you, it won't be long till we'll just be going home. Heaven is a place where purity and fruitfulness describe the surrounding. A river of life, pure. Don't have to go through a filter. Doesn't have to go through a process. Pure. The river of life flowing out of the throne of God. And fruitfulness. Now I love gardens and I love orchards. I love planting things and seeing them grow and producing fruit. Why, on each side of that river, there's the tree of life. Bears 12 manner of fruit every month. What a tree. What a home. What a Savior. He's preparing a place for you and for me. Let me read you this little poem. This is what heaven means to me. Now, when I picture heaven, and it's quite often that I do, I may not think of the things that mean the most to you, like walls of jasper, or gates of pearl that are so beautiful to behold, or mansions just standing everywhere on the streets of solid gold. For that's not what appeals to me or fills my heart with bliss. For I've never had enough of those things to spoil me down here, I guess. The human mind can never comprehend all the beauty that's there to see. But this, my friend, is what heaven really means to me. It's a place where the night has vanished away, and the ages of time is just one long day. The weather is perfect, and the food will be fine. And we won't ever have to hurry, because there won't be any more time. Now, in heaven, we'll never cry, and there'll be no bills to pay and nothing to buy. There'll be no more sorrow and not one bit of sin. And that old sting of death, thank God, will never be felt again. Another thing that makes heaven so fair to me is my little old mom and dad. Ah, they're both going to be there, and they'll be so young and fair to see, not old and sick or wrinkled like they used to be. Now I want to kiss my mama and hear her whisper in my ear, "Oh, my son, I'm so glad that you're here." And I want to hear my daddy say, "Son, there'll be no more fear. Why, let's just go over and sit down over yonder and talk a couple of hundred years." Just try to imagine the thrill, if you can, of meeting some of the saints of old and just to shake their hands. And just to sit down and listen to the stories of the things they've done. Why, who knows? We may get to live next door to someone like Paul or James or John. Yes, it's going to be wonderful when we make it through to that beautiful land that God has prepared for me and you. Oh, but all these things I've mentioned won't even start to compare to the main thrill that's waiting for us when we get there. And that is to see Jesus, the one who died for you and me, and to live in His presence and worship Him throughout all eternity. I'm going to be there. Will you? I'll see that wall of jasper. Will you? I'll swing open that gate of pearl. Will you? I'll walk down the street of gold. Will you? I've got a mansion there. Jesus has said so. I'm ready to meet Jesus. Are you? I'm ready for eternity now. Are you? We can imagine about heaven. We have heard about heaven. We can think to the best of our ability about heaven. But my dear friend, I want you to know tonight, when it comes to heaven, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And the best is yet to come. A Now, let me say emphatically that only the saved are going to heaven. Only the saved are going to heaven. Revelation 21:27, and there in no wise shall enter in anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I read that this morning. You see, in order to go to heaven, in order to enter into heaven, we've got to be cleansed of our sin. The only way sinners are cleansed from their sin is to be saved, and our sins washed away and blotted out by the shed blood of Jesus. Only the saved are going to heaven. Jesus said in John 14, talking about heaven, I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Revelation 22:17 tells us plainly that God desires sinners to be saved. Why? Just 5 verses from the end of the Bible, Jesus gives the last invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Spurgeon said, when Jesus said that in the last book of the Bible, he did not just open wide the door of salvation. He took it off the hinges.
Amen.
And I've gone through that door. Have you? Only the saved are going to heaven. Thirdly, only the saved would enjoy heaven. Now listen to me. It is foolish for you to think that you can live your life and die and go to heaven without getting saved and you'd enjoy it there. That is stinking thinking. That's phony baloney. If you don't enjoy coming to church now, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Hey, you're not going to be on a company picnic with Coors and Bud Light. What do you think we're going to do? We're going to praise Him and worship Him and love Him throughout the endless ages of eternity. If you don't enjoy being around God's people here and hearing songs sung that praise His name like you've heard today, you don't enjoy coming to the house of God and hearing the word preached, what in the world makes you think you'd enjoy heaven?
Amen.
Only the saved are going to heaven. And only the saved would enjoy heaven. You've got to be born again. You've got to be cleansed of your sin. And I say you, I mean we, all of us, you and me. No one gets a special pass. No one. No one gets that special pass. Only the saved are going to heaven. Only the saved would enjoy heaven. The lost person, remember, the lost person can't help acting like a lost sinner. He's never been born again. His spirit is dead. He has no relationship with God. The Holy Spirit does not live in him. He has not been cleansed of his sin. He is Adam after the fall, without the provisions of Christ covering his nakedness. A sinner would stand there in heaven in all of his sin and all of his pollution and would pollute heaven for everybody that's there. No, only the saved are going to heaven. And only the saved would enjoy heaven. Now let me throw this in. You can hear people joke, and you can joke about hell and air conditioning hell all you want to. But I got news for you. You got no say-so. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels and all those who have lived their life and never got saved, never got born again. It's a place of torment where they run and cry and scream and burn in agony. They gnaw their tongues with pain, but there's no relief. There's no end. There's no time out. There's no exits, no second chances. Right. Only the saved are going to heaven. And only the saved would enjoy heaven. Let me ask you a question right now. If you should die tonight and stand before God, and He asked you this question, how would you answer Him? Why should I let you come into heaven? How would you answer Him? Well, I've been a good boy or girl, or I've tried to be good. I've paid my bills. I've tried to be a good wife or a good husband. None of that works. The only reason He would allow us into heaven is that we can say, I've been born again. I've accepted Jesus Christ, who paid my sin debt, as my Savior. Only the saved are going to heaven, and only the saved would enjoy heaven. And my last point, no one's going to enjoy hell. No one's going to enjoy hell. If you're unsaved, that's your future. If you should die where you're seated right now before the undertaker could come and pick up your body, you would already be in hell. Your soul and spirit would already be in torments in the flame. Hell is the common sewer of all the wicked and the evil who's ever lived and all who have lived without Jesus. You say, but I've been a good person. Good person without Jesus goes to the same place as the rapist and the child abuser and the wicked. No difference when you get to hell. Same judgment, same flames, same devil. And you're a part of that common sewer with all of the wicked. You talk about feeling uncomfortable around certain kinds of people here. What are you going to do if you're not saved and you go to hell? You're going to get to spend forever with them. Only the saved are going to heaven. Only the saved would enjoy heaven. But no one's going to enjoy hell. For the saved, the best is yet to come. But if you're here and you've never been saved, and you live and die like you are, no matter how horrible your life has been, the worst is yet to come. Because all you've got to face after this life is over is hell. With all those who have forgotten God and the devil and his fallen angels. Don't you understand God didn't create hell for man? He created it for the devil and his angels. He never intended for his creation of man to go there. But when man sinned, it separated us from God. When man sinned, our soul was unsaved. It became lost and our spirit died. And we're in that terrible condition until the new birth takes place. And at that new birth, our soul is saved and our spirit is made alive. And our sins are washed away, blotted out, never to be remembered again. And God promises those kind of people heaven. But I say one more time, only the saved are going to heaven. Only the saved would enjoy heaven. But no one's going to enjoy it. Can you look forward to eternity and rejoice because you're saved? And the promise of Jesus concerning heaven is His promise from Him to you if you're saved. My dear friend, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. I just want to tell you one more time, if you're saved, the best is yet to come. But I shall warn you one last time, only the saved are going to heaven. Only the saved would enjoy it. But no one's going to enjoy heaven.